Before we start, can I get a quick idea about whether you are doing this inside of the virtual machine or on your laptop outside of the virtual machine? So who is doing this inside of the virtual machine? Okay, just, okay, great, perfect. And everyone else is essentially running on their normal operating system. Do we have anyone running this on Windows? Okay, good. I just wanted to know this because there are some subtle differences in the line endings in files, and we'll have to talk about this for a second. Okay, so to get started, I brought another PhD comic for you that is part of this tutorial. I'm not going to talk about the motivation of version control again because we talked about this on Tuesday, but in essence, what version control can do for you, it is like an archival of all of the versions of your software that you ever made, or of your texts for that matter. And it's like an infinite undo button in your word processor. You will never run out of undo options if you have put your document into a version control system. So when you think about making changes to a document, then you often think about saving the whole document into a new file. But what you can do instead is you can track the changes that you made. And that is what happens if you activate the record changes option in Word or in OpenOffice. The software internally only saves the changes that you make, not the full file. And that is exactly what any version control system does as well. Instead of saving every snapshot of the file as the full file, it stores the initial version and then it stores all of the individual changes that you made after this initial version. And this way, I don't have a pointer right now, but as you can see, if you go from the left to the right, each individual change is only a single line or a few lines, and if you reapply all of these changes after each other, you get to the final version of the document. And this way, you can also have two people working on the same file at the same time, making different changes. So one person just adds a new line, one person removes a few lines, and if you just save these changes and apply them to the same version of the file, then in the end you can merge these changes into a single document again. So Git is not the first version control system that was around. There were many older ones, but at the moment Git is the most used, and it really dominates the open source software community, and it's also very useful for example, writing papers or storing presentations. So we'll focus on the Git version control system in this tutorial. One task to think about for you is, or to talk about the benefits of Git is, imagine you drafted an excellent paragraph in your paper that you want to submit. But then you have to change it because you get some new conclusions, you're not as sure about your results anymore, so you slightly change it. But later on you find out that actually your results were correct. If you did not save this particular version of the paragraph, it's very hard to write it in exactly the same way that you felt was perfect before. So with Git you can go exactly back to this version and recover it and use it again. A different point to think about is, imagine you have a lot of co-authors who edit your file, and you include all of their changes, and you use, for example, Microsoft Word for that. So you get all of their documents with track changes, and you merge all of these track changes into your document, and you save them. Then you have no longer any history about the state of your document before you merged all of these changes. Unless you made a copy with a different name, as we discussed before, having like 20 different files with different names. So Git allows you to keep track of these changes. So the main points, it's like an unlimited undo feature, and it also allows you to work with other people in parallel. So now let's get started and set up Git on your laptops. The first thing we need to tell Git is your name and your email address. And why do we need to tell it that? The reason behind this is that you need some kind of unique identifier for each person who makes changes to a file. It actually doesn't matter whether it's your real name or whether you make something up or you put in your real email address or something else. But if you have made a GitHub account for this tutorial, then please use the same email address that you used for your GitHub account when you set up the Git configuration here. So in order to tell Git your name and your email address, you can use the git config command. And the command looks like this, git config dash dash global user dot name, and then your name. And git config dash dash global user dot email and your email address. Did that work for everybody?
Question.
Yes.
You have to do that once for all?
Yes, you do this once, and you will never have to do this again on this operating system.
But the name is the username, like SW Carpentry, or is that like?
That's your username on GitHub.
Okay, so the one that's like on the GitHub page.
So the user name does not have to be exactly the same name that you used on GitHub. It would be helpful if it's the same to count commits that you make on GitHub and commits that you make on your laptop the same way, but it doesn't have to be. And yes. Yes. And you can actually change this for each of your little Git projects. Then you wouldn't use the dash dash global option. But since we use the dash dash global option, it will be set for all of the projects, unless you change it for one particular project. As a next step, and this is something that not all of you have to do, but only Scott. So there are different ways to encode line endings in files. And since Git likes to compare files, it can get confused if you have different line endings at the end of lines, because it will recognize the lines as different if there's a different line ending. So for Windows users, please do this line to tell Git to ignore these Windows line endings. And there's one more step that we want to do to set up Git, and that is to tell Git which is your favorite editor to edit texts. I'm not sure if you already have a favorite editor, then you can just look through these lines in the tutorial, find your favorite editor. For example, Emacs and Vim are at the end of this list, and use one of these commands. If you do not have a favorite editor, or if you are inside of the virtual machine, then you can use LeafPad that we used for the tutorials. So I'm going to do this in the virtual machine, so I'm going to use LeafPad here, although I would use Vim if I would do this on my laptop. So the command is git config dash dash global core dot editor, and then the name of the software that you want to use. In this case, LeafPad for me. This will tell Git that whenever it expects some input from you, it will open an editor in this program for you to write some text message. And that's it for now for the setup of Git. We will skip over the two points in the tutorial here because they are very specific and not of interest to us at the moment. You can always get help for Git commands by typing git config dash dash help, or actually any Git command. So you can always type git, the name of the command that you want to do, and then dash dash help, and you will get a help message about what you can do with this command. Okay, is everyone on the same page so far? Okay, then let's start by discussing the basics of Git. And we will set up Git to track one of our CIDR projects. And the CIDR project will be another planetary, well, not quite be another planetary mission, but it will be a mission where Wolfman, Dracula, and the Mummy are looking for a new base for their evil operations. And they are considering different planets for that. So to get started with this project, I would ask you to go into the desktop folder that we used for the tutorials before. So the command is cd desktop. To make a new directory in the desktop folder, that is called planets. The command is mkdir space planets. Then to change into that directory, cd planets. And now we have to tell Git that we want to track the changes that we make inside of this folder. And we do this by typing git init. And then you will see a message like this, initialized empty git repository in home geodynamics desktop planets.git. And if you do an ls inside of this directory, then you will see that nothing has changed. But if you do an ls-a to also show hidden files in this directory, then you will see that there's a new folder inside of this directory, and this folder is called .git. And this is where Git will store all of the information about the history of this project. So nothing of this project currently is anywhere online, anywhere outside of this folder. Everything is stored inside of this folder, and all of the changes will be stored in this folder .git, the full history. Another very useful command for Git is git status. Get status tells you about the current state of your project, not surprisingly. And our empty project currently says that we are on something that's called a branch, which is called master. We'll talk about this later. This is the initial commit of this project. And currently, there is nothing to commit. We'll also talk about what a commit is later. It also gives some helpful hints about what to do next. For example, create, copy files, and use git add to track these files. But before we do this, let's talk about some common misperceptions in Git. So we'll not go through all of the exercises that are listed for this tutorial, but I would like to talk about them. So you might think that you would want to have another project that you want to store inside of this directory. And you could create a subfolder, and you might think that it's a good idea to do another git init inside of that subfolder. But in fact, Git tracks everything in all of the subdirectories of this folder inside of one repository. Everything that is inside of this folder, no matter whether it's a file or a different subdirectory, will be tracked by Git if we tell it to do so. So creating another Git repository inside of another Git repository is not a good idea. It can confuse Git about which files belong to which directory. So try to avoid that. If you did so, and you created a new directory, and you initialized a new Git repository inside of that subdirectory, what would be the way to recover from that? Question for you. It's not a secret Git command. Otherwise, I wouldn't ask you. Exactly. You just delete the .git directory in the repository that you don't need anymore. Because that's everything that distinguishes a normal directory from a directory that is tracked by Git. You will have to do so with the rm-rf command, because these files are actually write protected. So very careful when you apply this that you actually remove the correct Git repository. But that's the way to recover if you accidentally edit the Git directory somewhere you don't want to. OK, so we set up this directory to contain a Git project. The next step is to actually do something in this project and teach you how to make changes and keep them tracked inside of Git. So let's say you are inside of your directory, the Git repository in the planets folder. Let's create one file for one particular planet, whatever is your favorite planet. In the tutorial, they suggest Mars. And we'll call the file mars.txt. And we put something into that directory that discusses how well Mars is suited for the new base of evil operations. But you can choose to put in anything you want. You can start your next paper. If you already have the abstract like readily written in your mind, you can just put it down here. So I'll save the file. I'll close it. Now if I do ls inside of this directory, I will see that there's the new file, mars.txt. And if I now do git status, it will tell me that we are still on this something branch called master with the initial commit, but now there is an untracked file in this directory, and this file is called master.txt, the file that we just created. It also tells me about what to do next. It says use git add file to include in what will be committed. So that's what we're going to do. We will do git add master.txt. And this tells git that this file should be kept under version control for the future, for every future change that happens to this file. If I again do git status, now it tells me changes to be committed. New file, master.txt. Does anyone have problems so far? If you type git status, do you see the same message? Okay. So just to recap, the commands were git add, git status. Okay, and now we will do one of the magical steps in Git. We told Git that it should keep track of mouse.txt. And now we will do something that is called a commit. We do this by typing git commit dash m a message about this commit, started nodes on Mars. So when we did git add, we told git that it should keep track of this file, but we didn't save any particular version of this file yet. When we did git commit dash m, we actually stored the current snapshot of the file inside of the .git directory that is inside of this folder. So the current version of this file will be saved forever, and it can always go back to this particular version of the file. Now, when you type git commit, you will see that there are some messages here created by git. For example, it will show you this cryptic combination of letters and numbers here. This is what is called a git commit hash. And it is a cryptographic representation of the file or of the changes that you did. And it is unique, which means you can reproduce this number based on the changes in the file. But if there would be any different changes, this number would be different. Which means this is a unique identifier for this particular version of the file. And you could, for example, if you upload this somewhere and store it somewhere, and you put in your paper a reference to this particular commit ID, it will always be a unique identifier to this particular version of the file. You cannot cheat. You cannot change the content of the file without changing this identifier. Yes, that is a note to myself, or anyone who will in the future see this repository. Okay. And it's helpful to think a bit about these messages when you save a particular version, because it's easy to slip into the habit to just say dash m update. But that will not help you much in the future if you try to figure out what you did in this commit. So it's useful to try to come up with something that tells you what you actually did.
And this would do this for every file that you set to do the track?
You will do this every time you use the git commit command.
Well, I mean, it's doing it for mars.txt, but say you had 5 files in there that you could pull the version track.
Oh, yeah. I'll talk about what a commit actually is. It's not related to this particular file. So in our case, currently, we just modified a single file and made a commit out of it. But a commit actually means a state for the full Git project, so every file that is currently under version control.
Okay, so if there's files in there, then they would all be commit.
Exactly. They are all in the same commit. And from one commit to the next, we could update all of these files and have a single commit that updates all of them and have a single message for all of the changes that we did in this commit. I think there was another question. No. Okay. Okay, so let's see what we just did. If we now type again git status, then it tells us we are still on branch master, but now there's nothing to commit because all of the changes that we did in this repository are already committed. We are in what is called a clean state. Nothing has changed compared to the last committed version. And if we use a new command that's called git log, we can see the history of our project. And currently, the history of our project says there's exactly one commit. It was made by me or by you on your repository. It tells you the email address of the author, which is useful if you work in projects with many different authors, because then you know who to contact if you have questions about this commit. It tells you exactly the date and the time when you made this commit, and it contains this commit message. Is this one. This is the real identifier. The one that we saw above in the commit message is an abbreviated version of this. I think it's just the eight first letters. This one really is unique. The eight first letters is still pretty unique, but there might be two commits in a big history that have the same first eight letters. Yes?
I have Brackets and
head to masters. Oh, yeah. You have a slightly different version of Git, so your output is a bit different. It's nothing. Okay. Nothing to worry about. Okay. So let's discuss a few points. So first of all, if we do ls, we still see only this single file. And we only see this file at the current state. So where are the older versions of this file at the moment? Exactly, in the .git folder. And to be precise, there's not a full version of this file inside of the .git folder. There's a compressed version of this file inside of the .git folder to make it smaller. And over time, this folder will accumulate all of the changes that we make to this file. Oh, you cannot directly see it because it's compressed and in a different format. The .git folder is not meant to be browsed by you to find something specifically, but you can use git commands to get these older versions back. And that's what we are going to look at next. So first of all, let's do another commit. So I will open Leafpad again and open this file. And now I will add another line to the file. Again, if you modified the file, you saved it and you closed it, and you do git status, then it will show you that you modified this file, master.txt. And to make a new commit, we will repeat the same commands that we did before. So we'll say git add mouse.txt to tell Git that it should include the changes that we made in this file. But this time, before we commit these changes, let's check what kind of changes we actually made. Sometimes it happens that you modify a lot of files in your Git repository, and you don't quite remember what you changed in each of these files, and you don't know what you want to commit at the current stage. So you can see all of the changes that you made by using the command git diff. Oh, sorry about that. I'm one step ahead. If you would have run git diff before you said git add, this would have been the output that you would have gotten. Since you already added the file, you won't see this anymore. But we can repeat this with the next commit that we do. So before you add changes, you can see the diff by typing git diff, and it will tell you what you changed. In red is what we removed, in green is what we added. No, you can ignore this line for now. So what
is it just the most recent change?
It does. So what I did here is I told Git to revert the git add command that I just did before. It did not change anything about the history that we already committed. Can we talk about reset a bit later? I shouldn't have shown that here. So it's something that you don't really need very often in a normal operation. I just wanted to recover the git diff command that we wanted to show here. Okay, so if we look at this output, it's a bit cryptic to read, but every line that starts with a minus is a line that was removed, and every line that starts with a plus is a line that was added. And this format is actually something that text editors can understand. So you could, for example, do something like git diff and put this into a new text file, and then use the command patch. Don't do this at the moment. Sorry, should have said that before. But you could store these changes in a file, send this file to somebody else, and they could apply these changes to their files. That will be useful later on. But at the moment, we just wanted to add our new changes and then commit them. So these are the two commands that I just used, git add mars.txt, git commit dash m, add a line. Sorry? This one was the first command, and this one was the second. Git add mars.txt, git commit dash m, and then a note about what you changed in your file. It's because git, let's say you make a lot of changes in a file and you later on notice that you only want to commit some of these changes at the moment, then you need to be able to tell git which of these changes it should commit. And there are, for example, options to tell git add to only include some of the changes in a particular file into this commit. Or only some files, exactly. Think about you have three different files and you made different changes in these three files. And you only want to commit some of them at the moment because you want to keep working on the other files. Then you would run git add on this single file and make a commit and keep the other ones out of this commit. Don't add them at the moment.
So the commit only works on the things that
have been added.
That
have been added since the last commit.
Oh, okay. So you have to run add before commit.
Yes, always.
So you have git add stuff 2 weeks ago, and you start your commit, you're committing it.
Yes. At the moment, it doesn't matter, because at the moment, we don't work in editors that git open for us. But for example, if we... I'll just repeat this cycle and add another commit. So git leafpad mars, and I will add something to this file. And I will close it and add it. And then I run the git commit command without the dash m and typing my message in the terminal. Then git will open an editor for me asking for a commit message for this commit. And now I can type the message in this editor at the beginning. And save it in this editor and close the editor. And now git will have used this message from this editor to put in as a commit message. So that's the application for setting the editor. Oh, yes. That means you currently have no changes compared to the last version that you committed. And that means you cannot add anything at the moment because there is no change to add to it. Yeah. Actually, we can test what happens if we forget the git add command. So Christine asked about like if I have to run git add every time. If I forget this at any time, so let's say I open Leafpad with mars.txt, and I noticed that this was actually a bad decision to add this test word over here. I can remove this. I can save the file. And now I forget to do git add. Then git will complain and say, no changes added to commit. So git refuses to make a new commit if there are no changes that can be committed at the moment. And it will also give me an output about like which files are currently modified and which files are currently untracked. You will not have this patch file, and I'll remove it for now. It just keeps distracting us.
Okay.
Yes?
What happens between the add
and commit? You mean technically inside of Git? So Git will take the changes. It will compute this commit hash that I talked about. It will store all of the changes in a compressed format inside of this Git repository. And it will mark this new version of the file as the current version. This is, in essence, what happens when you do this Git commit. Oh, yeah, so this is maybe explaining a bit better what the difference between this git add and this git commit command actually is. So think of your file with a certain change in one of the lines. If you do the git add, then you kind of already add something to the .git directory, but only in a preliminary staging area. And when you do the git commit, then you attach it to the top of your history of your file. The git reset command that I used earlier essentially reverted this stage and removed the changes that I accidentally added from the staging area and just put it into the file. Okay, now we did a number of changes and commits to this file already. So you probably have two commits. I think I already have four. But if you now run git log, you will see that there's already quite some history in this repository. And you can see all of the individual notes that you wrote when you made these changes and can hopefully recover what you did at the time. If you have a lot of commits and they don't fit into your terminal window, then Git will start to page those commits, so you will only see one page of the message, and you can use the arrow keys to scroll down or scroll up and Q to exit this this view. So don't be worried if you have a lot of commits and then you see this behavior. It just avoids showing you 1,000 lines just when you type git log, especially because most of the time you're interested in the uppermost commits, which are the most recent ones. You can also limit the number of commits that you would like to see. So if you, for example, run git log -1, then you will just see the most recent commit that you made. Okay, just one note about directories in Git. Directories itself are not tracked by Git. Everything Git tracks are the files inside of directories. So as soon as you add a file inside of a directory to Git, it will automatically also track the directory around it. But you can, for example, not add an empty directory to Git. It's just not existent for Git. Yes?
So you said that you shouldn't have a subdirectory with another Git repository in it, but Git can't outstep directories in. Does that include subdirectories?
So Git will ignore all empty directories. But if you create a repository inside of a subdirectory, then you will create a .git folder inside of that subdirectory, and then it's not longer empty. And then Git tries to include the .git files from the subdirectory in the subfolder, so that will cause confusion. Did that answer the question?
You can.
If you... you will add the files inside of this subdirectory to the Git repository, but to the one in the main directory, not to an additional one in the subdirectory.
You have to specify that they're in that subdirectory.
Yes, you have to Git add them, like all of the other files. Okay, I feel like these example tasks for you are probably a bit too simple, but like bear with me. Like, so which commands of these 1, 2, 3, 4 would save the files, would save the changes in myfile.txt to your Git repository? Three? Other opinions? Two? Three. Okay, yeah, three. It's three. All of the other ones are either not complete or are using wrong commands. So every time you want to store a change for a file, use git add and then git commit. We already talked about the fact that you can also add changes in separate files, in multiple files, into the same commit. So you can, for example, start a second file, venus.txt, and store some data in this file. And also make changes at the same time to the mars.txt file. Doesn't really matter what kind of content you put in there, but if you make some changes to a new file, venus.txt, and modify the file mars.txt, and afterwards you run git status, you will see that Git recognized that we made changes to mouse.txt and finds this new file, venus.txt. And we can add both of them by just putting both file names in the command git add. If we now run git status, then you will see that Git marked both of them to be committed in the next commit. Is everyone around this stage somewhere? So I added the new file. I modified mouse.txt, I ran git add both of them, and then git status. And you see that both are marked to be committed, and now we can do a git commit. And now we have made a commit that includes changes to these two files. I will jump over some of the exercises that are recommended here in the tutorial because they are essentially explaining like more detailed features that we don't really need, and I would like to get to some of the other parts of the tutorial before we run out of time. But the key points here are you can always see the status of your repository by running git status. If you want to record changes, you always have to first run git add and then git commit.
Mm-hmm. So if you have like a code and you have it in a folder, you always make a new git for that folder.
Yes.
And then if you go to another folder and work on a different code, you always have a different git thing.
If it is a different project,
yeah,
either a different paper or a different code or a different presentation, then make a new git repository for it. Yes. What do you mean by a lot of space, like disk space? Not really, no, because so Git is really designed for text files. It's not so much designed for large binary files. You can put binary files in there, for example, images and even videos, but you should try to keep the data size in the maybe at most megabyte sized files, because Git uses an internal compression algorithm to compress all of the text files. And so the .git repository actually doesn't become too big. So for example, the full .git repository for Aspect now is about, I think, 120 megabytes. And that includes a lot of images for the manual and all of our test results and all of the source code. So it's not getting too big. Also, because it does not save the full file every time you do a commit, but only the changes that you make from one commit to the other. OK, so we talked about creating new commits. But the big advantage, of course, is that if you have made these commits, then you can go back and see what you changed a while back. And you can see what changed from this previous time to the current version. So let's talk about how you would do that. And let's talk about head for a second. So we talked about the fact that what happens when you do a git commit. You create a new commit with a new commit hash, and git marks this new commit as the currently active commit state of this repository. And this is called head by git. It's like the head of the repository, the current version that you are in. And we talked about how you can use git diff to see the changes that you made in your repository compared to the last commit. But you can also use git diff to compare against older versions of your repository. So if you would want to see older changes in your repository, you can do the following: git diff head and then tilde one mars.txt. So tilde is the little button shift and above the tab key on the top left of your keyboard. And this command compares the current version of your file with the version before, the previous version. You can also alternatively compare it against the second most current version, or the third most current version. This looks probably different for you. You're probably missing the node new line at end of file line, right? Yes, okay. That's a problem that appears because I'm using Leafpad and the virtual machine, and that's not happening for you. That's good. A different command we could use instead of git diff. So git diff compares the current version to an older version, or it can also compare two older versions to each other. But we can also use git show to show what we changed in one of the older commits that we made. So for example, if I run git show head tilde 2, it shows me the commit message of the second oldest commit and all of the changes that I did in this particular commit. So this way you can recover what you did in a particular commit in the past. Yes? Sorry? Oh, these lines here. These lines mean the changes start at the first line of the file, and the changes also start at the first line of the new version of the file. It's not important, like for humans it's not important, but if you would want to take these changes and apply it to a different file, then it's easier for the algorithm to find the place where it has to make these changes when it knows about the line numbers where it has to apply the changes. So currently, we used head as a reference to compare against. So we said git diff head tilde 2 to say we want to compare against the commit that is two steps before the current head position. But we can also use this unique commit identifier to show what happened in exactly this commit. So we can, for example, say git show and then copy this commit hash in here. By the way, they will be different for you because it's a unique identifier. It's different as soon as you have a different name or a different email address. Yes, yes. Actually, I think you can use as, I'm not sure if you can use as few as necessary. No, that's not possible, but you can use the short version of this. Yes. So this way you can recover what you did in the past. You can see what you changed in a particular commit. Now let's say we accidentally break our file. So I opened mouse.txt and for whatever reason, maybe I have two editor windows open, one has the new version of the file, one has the old version, and I type something in the wrong version and save it, and suddenly I broke my file. I save this file, I close the editor. Now it's gone. If this file would not have been in version control, now I can have no way to recover the content of this file. And if I run git status, it will tell me that I modified mouse.txt. Yes?
So if I modify other data that I'm not committing, it'll still show all the modified files, even
yes.
Though I only want to commit a single file.
Yes, by default it will show all of the files, but we will talk about how you can tell Git to ignore certain file endings, for example, and not include them into the repository. Okay, so we broke our file. But Git also tells us how to discard changes in the working directory that we made. So to get back to your stored version of the file, you can just do git checkout dash dash mouse.txt. If you have edited it but not yet committed, then you need a slightly different command, but it still works. So I have done the checkout. If I now run git status, it tells me nothing to commit. And if I start leafpad, then I see the original content of my file. I've recovered my file. Exactly. I changed the file, I saved it, but I didn't commit it. And then I checked out the old version of the file and I restored all of the content. Okay, so we were unsuccessful breaking this file. Let's try harder. So let's say I accidentally overwrote this file. And I saw that something changed in the file, but I think it's a good change. So I actually add it to Git. So I again broke the file, and then I ran git add mouse.txt. If I now do git status, if you remember, now the file is in the staging area of Git, but it's not yet committed to the repository, to the history. If I now do git status, it tells me changes to be committed, mouse.txt. But it also tells me use git reset head file to unstage. So what we can do is we can say git reset head mouse.txt. And it says unstage changes after reset. If I now run git status, we are back to the stage where the changes are not staged for the commit. And now I can do git checkout mouse.txt as before. And we have saved the changes, or we have restored the content of this file again. You can, so I wanted to check if I want to try even harder and actually commit the file. And that's also possible. I'm not sure if it's the right time to show it at the moment, but let me check. Let's say, so if I use git log to take a look at the history, let's say that I am happy about the added nodes on Venus that I did before, but I don't like the changes that I made to mouse.txt in the same commit. Remember, we added a line to create the Venus.txt file, but I made also changes to the mouse.txt file, and I think they are bad. They should go. So what we can do with the same git checkout command that we used before, we can say git checkout, and then put in a commit identifier. And we can put in the commit identifier of the commit before we added the nodes on Venus. Oh, by the way, if you want to copy something in the terminal in Linux, then you will have to use Control-Shift-C and Control-Shift-V under Linux, or probably Apple-C, Apple-V under... Oh, it's Control? Okay, so on Apple, on macOS, it will be Control-C, Control-V. That way you don't have to type this commit identifier. And then mouse.txt. And this tells Git to get back an earlier version of the file mouse.txt. And if you now do git status, it will tell you that you modified mouse.txt because now you're back on an older version of this file, and if you take a look at the file itself, we are back to the stage with just two lines and this test command at the end.
Can we go forward again?
Yes. That's our next task. We would like to. So we went back to the older stage, but we discovered that maybe it's not that helpful. We would like to go back to the newest version of this file. And you can use the same command, git checkout. And remember, head is the newest version. Mars.txt. Yes, and also it will modify the head commit itself. Please don't at the moment. You can fix it. Like it is very hard to break a Git repository in a way that you cannot fix anymore. But sometimes it requires a bit of searching through Stack Overflow to find the solution. So if you now do git status, there should be no modifications, and the file should be at the latest version that you committed. Are there problems so far? Does everyone have a Git repository with at least two commits and is currently in a stage where if you run git status, you don't see anything, any changes? Yes?
Probably it doesn't matter if I walk around, but I have a head detached head or something.
Oh, yes. This is what can happen if you do just a git checkout of a commit without a file, that it detached.
Gitbox where there was a horror theme of this thing.
Yes.
Head detached. I made a few mistakes along the way.
So. Don't worry. Can you run a git log?
No.
And
because I had to create a file and I tried to come back.
Yeah.
And I have the new file, but it's not detached.
What should work is if you run git checkout master.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Okay, so this is essentially the basic Git workflow. You make changes to your file, you add them, you commit them, and you create a history for yourself in which you can go back and you see changes that happened earlier in the history. And you can recover files from earlier in the history by doing a git checkout. There's one more thing we can discuss at this stage. On the other hand, it's already pretty late, but I'll just quickly show you. Let's say we suddenly discovered that this edit notes on Venus commit was actually pretty bad overall, not just the changes in master.txt, but also in Venus.txt. We would like to get rid of it completely. There's a command for this, and that is called git revert. So this is something that you might not want to do on your laptops if you want to keep the current state of the repository. But what I'll do here is git revert and this commit message. And it will ask me for a message for why I do this commit this reversion, but I'll just say revert edit notes on Venus. And if I now do git log, what you will see is that the correct way in Git to get rid of some changes in the history is not to modify the history, because you want to keep the history. You might discover in a few months that you actually wanted this commit and that you accidentally reverted it. The correct way is to revert the changes by adding a new commit that just reverts all of the changes that you did before. This way, even if you try to get back to an older stage, you still keep the history of your changes and can go back to them. And that means now we have two commands here, two commits here, one creates the changes and another one reverts the changes. And to get back to the stage before, I will now revert this commit. And now I have a commit, the commit that reverts the changes, and the commit that reverts the revert changes commit. Okay, I'll skip over the other points in this particular lesson because I want to move on to something more useful. So first of all, we had the question already, how do I tell Git that there are files in this directory that should not be tracked? Let's say you have a big data file in this directory. You cannot track that. You don't want to. You can create a file that is called .gitignore, like this, in your repository. And in this file, you can specify files or file types that should be ignored by Git. So in our case, we can, for example, say that we want to ignore all files that end on .patch. Or we could say we want to ignore all files that end on, what's the seismic file format, SAC, S-A-C? Mm-hmm. Or you just have a particular file that you want to ignore, let's say notes.txt. You could do this as well. I'll save this file and close it. And just to demonstrate that it works, I'll create a new file that's called notes.txt. And if I now run git status, it will not complain about notes.txt, but it will actually see the .gitignore file. And we want to add the gitignore file to our repository to keep track of that. Git add.gitignore. Yes, you can say git log master txt, and this should only show you, or let's say git log venus.txt, this should only show you the commits that affect this particular file. So there are some specifics in this tutorial about how you can set up a .gitignore file exactly the way you want it, but I don't think it's of much use to go through all of these rules at the moment for you. But if you want to have a gitignore file that ignores certain files but not others in a subdirectory, then you can take a look at the pages in this tutorial. It's relatively straightforward. Instead, we should spend the rest of this tutorial in talking about what is the difference between Git and GitHub and how you can connect the two. So everything we did until now was Git. It was local on your file system inside of this .git directory. It's a version control system. GitHub is a company and a website that offers services for Git repositories. What it essentially does is it creates another .git repository on their server. It can connect to your .git repository or your .git folder on your local machine. And it offers a lot of services around this, like communications between different users and services like visualizations of changes over time. So to continue with this tutorial, we will create a new repository on GitHub, connect it to the local repository that we have on our laptops, and then talk a bit about the communication between the two. So let's go to GitHub. And if you are already logged in, so GitHub just decided to change their start page. And I'm not sure it looks the same for you as it looks for me. But you will likely have a little plus button in the top right corner of your screen. And if you click there, if you are logged in already, then you can click on New Repository up there and create a new repository online. You can give this repository a name, and for simplicity, we'll give it the same name that we already have on the laptops, on your laptops, on my laptop. You can give it a description. You can decide whether it's public or private. The free plan only has public repositories, is that correct? Yeah, but for this tutorial, it really doesn't matter because we don't want to save anything confidential in there. Actually, GitHub has an education program where you can get a free account if you have a university email address that also allows private repositories. So if you want to upload anything that's like a paper, then you probably want to switch to the education version and then you get free private repositories for a while. And you can choose to already initialize this repository with a README, a gitignore file. So they have a lot of pre-made gitignore files for different programming languages that you can add to the repository and a license. But we'll skip over that for now. We'll just create a public repository with the name planets and create this repository. It also gives you some instructions on what you can do now with this repository, but we will skip this because we already set up our repository locally and we just want to connect this local repository to the GitHub repository. Sorry?
Isn't that the second option there?
Yes, exactly. So these are the commands that we now want to run in your local Git repository to connect it to this new GitHub repository. Actually, wait a second, that's not the correct address. Before you do this, click on HTTPS up here. So at the top of the page, you can choose between setting it up in SSH or HTTPS. and choose the HTTPS version for now. And then you can run these two commands in your terminal window inside of your Git repository. I don't know my password, and I wouldn't like to show it on video. So it will ask you for your GitHub username and password while you set this up, and you will have to type that in into the terminal. Okay, so we'll have to make a 2 minutes break. I need to set up something here. Otherwise, I'll have to type my password all the time, and that will take a while. If you want, you can take a look at the tutorial, either at the lessons that we had before or the ones that come next. So we're essentially going to talk about how the connection between your local repository and the remote GitHub repository works. Interesting, I didn't know.
Yeah, you just have to put an exclamation point in front of Git, and then everything else just works. I think it should be green still.
Well, that's pretty nice then, because you can, like MATLAB scripts are perfect for this, to just put into Git and upload.
You have to go into a separate command prompt for your user.
Yeah. What do you mean by how do you view the files?
Well, it's like you have var of Mars and Venus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like within the command prompt, you don't actually know if those are committed or not. If you do log status or git status, it doesn't say, because it says that they're not, there's nothing that's not modified. So then you can just by inference know that. But if you had 50 files in a repository, maybe you would.
Yes, so there is one complication, and that is if you have a lot of files and some of them are committed without changes and some of them are ignored, then you don't know beforehand which of those are actually tracked by Git and which are not.
Yeah.
You can find out by doing git log and then the name of the file, because it will either show us show you a lot of previous commits, or it will say this file is not tracked by Git.
Okay.
It's a manual thing, yes.
Do you have any recommendations on like the maximum file size to commit? Like, if an Excel, even if you have an Excel file that's like 2 megabytes, is that really?
That's fine. That's totally fine. Excel files are not perfect for tracking in Git because they are binary files, and so Git cannot really store the changes from one file to the next. But it's possible. I think GitHub has some kind of limit for file sizes, but it's more like 100 megabytes or something.
Okay.
So, yes?
Have you tried to get Mars file storage?
No, I haven't, but it's interesting. So, Git tries to extend itself to allow bigger file sizes and to also store bigger data files. It works slightly different then. It stores the files somewhere, and in your Git repository, you only have a link to that file. But I have no experience with it. Okay, if you want, we can continue so that we are finished by lunchtime. So we already created this repository on the GitHub website, and with these commands, git remote add and git push that were mentioned on the GitHub website, you created a link between your repository locally and the repository on the GitHub webpage. And the git push command actually copied all of the commits that you have locally onto the Git website. Maybe you have already seen that. If you take a look at your planet's repository on the GitHub webpage, then you will likely see something like this. Is there anyone whose GitHub webpage does not look like this at the moment? Okay, perfect. So as you can see, GitHub already knows about the number of commits in our repository, and it also knows about the files that are in there, and you can see it tracks the time since the last change of these files. And what just happened is that GitHub essentially made these commands on their servers. So they created a new directory for your repository. They initialized a new Git repository, also called planets. So it would look like this. And the git push command just pushed all of the commits on your local repository to the GitHub website, so that the history is now the same between your local repository and the history that is stored on the GitHub web page. No, you will have to manually push. And there's a reason for that, and that is some of your collaborators who might also have access to this public repository on GitHub could push their changes in the meantime, and when you try to push, then you will see that there might be a conflict between the two versions. And we'll talk about conflicts next. I would like to emphasize that there's a difference between the commits that we made and the push command that we used. The git commit command creates a new commit, saves the diffs in the file for this particular step, while git push does only copy commits around that already exists. So it copies the commits that exist locally to the remote that we just created. There is a corresponding command that is called git pull, which essentially takes all of the commits that exist on the remote and copy them to your local computer. So now, and this is the last lesson that we'll cover today, let's talk about collaborating. Because that's the point where GitHub really shines compared to just using Git locally on your computer. So the question is essentially, how can I use version control to collaborate with somebody else on the same project? So for this part, I would like you to collaborate and to pair up either in teams of two or three. Something like this size would be good. And work collaboratively on the repository of one of you in the group. So all of you have your own GitHub repository, but you can work together with other people on the changes in this repository. To work on somebody else, like all of you have already set up the remote for your own GitHub repository. But to work with somebody else's repository, you will either need to set up a second remote connection that not only connects to your GitHub, but also to another person's GitHub. Or for this tutorial, we will have you start a new directory that is connected to the other person's GitHub. And this is done using the git clone command. So git clone essentially means you will copy the git repository under the address that you put there. So you will need to ask the other member, whoever is the owner in your group, for the address of their username. And then you will need to copy github.com/ the username of the person / planets.git to a directory. For example, desktop and another person planets. Is it more or less clear what you should do?
Do we have to make that directory first?
No, you don't have to make that directory first. Git will create it for you. But it doesn't hurt if it's there.
I think it's an error. Have you had it before?
Oh, your firewall blocks the virtual machine.
Okay.
Probably. inside the virtual machine, right?
No.
But still, it looks like a firewall is broken. And this does not work if you.
Yeah, that's right. It's not like
it. Ah, it's like it's gone. Okay. Can you show me the web page of your planets repository on the top? This is in public. Oh no, it doesn't matter. It's in public. Yeah, it sounds. It looks like your firewall is blocking the access, but I can't.
Okay.
Can't tell you.
Okay.
How to change that.
Yeah, we should have some security.
Oh, wait a second. Okay.
Oh yeah, I just have a newest one.
Oh okay. Yeah, but that's not the firewall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. Does this work for everyone? Do you have a local clone?
Is there a way of setting allowed users to access to push to your repository so that you don't have to just give them your username and password if they want to?
Oh, no. Okay. So when you want to clone this, when does it ask for the username and password? It lets you clone without a username and password. To push up to it, you will need to have the username and password of. Yes. Of the owner at the moment. Okay, yeah, so that's a security risk that you shouldn't normally do that. Yes, there are ways to invite other people as collaborators to your repository, and then they can use their username and passwords to push to your repository. Maybe we should actually do that. So when you go to the GitHub webpage of your repository, then you can move over to settings here in the top row. And you can click on collaborators to the left here. And then you can put in the GitHub username or the email address of the persons that you want to allow accessing your repository. Yes.
Is there a way to tell who's cloned our repositories, or is that anonymous? Yeah,
it should be.
Is there a way to tell what?
I'm just curious who cloned my repository 2 days ago.
Oh. No, I don't think there's a way to tell who that is. It's anonymous.
I thought this was all supposed to be open.
Okay, so. Okay, does everyone have at least one repository that is connected to somebody else's GitHub repository?
Mm-hmm.
So the next task will be for one person in your group to make some changes in the repository, then add these changes, commit these changes, and then use the git push origin command to push these changes to the GitHub repository, after which everyone else in your group can use the git pull origin command to download everything to their computers. I will do this here on my machine at the same time. So I created just two different directories, planets and other planets. They both point to the same GitHub remote, so I can emulate being two different persons. And I will change one of the files here. And we'll save the changes. And we'll use git add and git commit. And then I can use git push origin. Git push origin master. Sorry? Master is the name of the branch that we are currently on. But we're not discussing branches here today. So at this stage, I made some changes. I created a new commit, and I used git push origin master to push it to GitHub. Yes, because push only copies the local commits to the remote. You will have to commit it first locally.
So if you're going to host the repository on GitHub, do you clone or do you pull? And is it just git pull or gymnastic?
Clone is a one-time process, like git init.
So it's just, right,
okay. It is essentially similar to just doing git init, git remote at origin, and then git pull. All of that is simplified by doing git clone.
So what, do you have to do git remote every time? Or git remote,
no.
Just like recax it?
No, no, the connection remains. If you would type git remote dash v at the moment.
Dash v?
A v.
Okay. Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
Then you should see all of the connections that your repository currently has. And these remain. So you can, okay, this is a case that we'll discuss next. So what, okay, let's take a step back and just take a look at what I did at the moment. So I had one repository and I made some changes there and added them and committed them and then did git push origin master to upload them to GitHub. Now I'm in my other repository, the one that is still on the old stage and doesn't know about the changes on GitHub. What I can do here is git pull origin master. And now it pulled the changes from the remote and downloaded the commit and applied this commit to the master.txt file in this repository. So if I do git log in this directory, I see a new change, the commit that I did in the different repository. So this way now all three repositories are on the same state, in the same commit stage, essentially. So the one I did the commit in, the one on GitHub, and the one in my different directory. Now let's assume I make a change here. And so this time I make changes in the same file in venus.txt and add them and commit them. And push them to GitHub, git push origin master. And in the second repository, my imaginary collaborator makes another change to the same file in the same line. And he also adds the file and makes a commit. So now I made a commit in one directory, in one repository, and uploaded it to GitHub. And I made another commit in the other in the other repository without first updating from GitHub. So now there's a conflict between these two repositories. The version on GitHub is different from the version on this repository, and the conflict is in the same file, in the same line. And now I want to push my changes to GitHub. And what will happen here is Git will reject to upload these changes, because it has recognized that there's a conflict in this file. It cannot apply both of these changes to the same line. It also tells you updates were rejected because the remote contains work that you do not have locally. This is usually caused by another repository pushing to the same ref. You may want to first integrate the remote changes, e.g. git pull, before pushing again. So what I first have to do is do git pull origin master.
Why did you put origin? I feel like it was working even with just git pull.
Oh, it works for you with just git pull? For all of you? You can try. So maybe git pull and git push is enough if you have just a single repository, a single remote and a single branch.
Okay.
I'm just used to working with more than one remote and more than one branch. That's why
in the same folder.
In the same folder.
Oh, okay. Why do you do that? I'm just curious.
So, for example, in the aspect development, I want to sometimes check what other people propose to merge into the main aspect version.
Okay.
So I add their GitHub repositories as remotes to get their proposed changes.
Okay.
And branches are a great way if you work on different features at the same time. To keep these changes separate, and then later on merge them into the main version again. But that's an advanced feature that we don't discuss here. Okay, so just to remind you, I did two commits that conflicted in two different repositories. I uploaded one of them to GitHub. The other one I cannot upload to GitHub because there would be a conflict, but I can download the other changes from GitHub. And when I do this, when I run git pull origin master or just git pull, then I will get a conflict message, merge conflict in venus.txt. And if I now take a look in venus.txt, then I will see that Git has added a few lines in here. And it includes both versions of this file. And Git cannot automatically know which of these versions is the one that I want to keep or that I want to have. So now I have to do some manual changes. And now I need to bring this file into the state that I would like to have, like this. And when I save it and close it and run git status, then Git will tell me you have unmerged paths, and the unmerged paths are this file, which was modified by both my local repository and the remote repository. And it also tells me that I should fix the conflicts and run git commit. Actually, I first have to run, as usual, git add and then git commit. Yes. And it will suggest the commit message merge branch master of GitHub of the remote repository, because what I did was I got the changes from this remote and I merged them into my local repository. And if I now do git log to see the history, I will see that the last commit is a so-called merge commit. It's a commit that is only there to explain which of the two changes of the older commits need to be preserved. So this is the workflow that you have to go through if somebody makes changes in the same file, in the same line as you do, between the time when you update from GitHub. Okay, usually I would like you to practice this a bit, but we are already within lunchtime, so I suggest that we stop here. I hope it gave you an impression of the basic workflow for Git on your own, on your laptop, and also what you would do if you want to collaborate with somebody on GitHub. If you run into any problems, then let me know over the next week or over the next days. And you can also always look up all of these commands in this on this tutorial page by Software Carpentry. Okay, thanks so much.